Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, you are the one who speaks light into darkness and truth into confusion. As we come to your word this morning, quiet the noise within us and around us. Still our anxious thoughts, soften our hurried hearts, and open us to the work of your Holy Spirit. May your word not only be heard in this place, but received. Not only understood, but trusted. Not only admired, but obeyed. Speak to us again, O Lord, for your servants are listening. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So you may remember that last Sunday we began a new series, sermon series, called Living in the Light. Now, on the day of Epiphany, Jesus was revealed as the light of the world, right? God made visible what was once hidden. God pulls back the curtain, so to speak, so that we can see that the child in Bethlehem isn't just Israel's Messiah, but the Savior of the entire world. So the light that we watched for in Advent and celebrated at Christmas was never meant to be contained within one people or one place or one moment in history. From the very beginning, it was meant to shine far and wide. And so this series asks the very practical and important question, what does it look like to shape our everyday lives by that light? What does it look like to shape our everyday lives, the ups and the downs of ordinary living, by that light? Not just what we believe on Sunday, but how we live on Monday. Not just what we confess in worship, but how we walk in the ordinary moments of everyday life. And so last week, we began with identity. We looked at Jesus' baptism in the Jordan to remind us that we are not defined by our successes or our failures. We're not defined by our productivity or our weaknesses, our hopes or our fears. We are defined by God's declaration over us, right? His declaration that we are his beloved children, adopted into his family through the finished work of Jesus on the cross. And so before we're even called to act, we are named. And before we are sent, we are claimed. And before we are called to live differently in this world, we're reminded to whom we belong. Living in the light begins with who we are in Christ. And then everything else flows from that. However, once we know who we are, another question I think naturally follows. How do we learn to walk in the light? Right? How do we know what it means to live faithfully and wisely and truthfully in a world that can often be confusing and uncertain and noisy? Right? I think you'd all agree that we live in a time where there is no shortage of voices. Right? We're surrounded by a constant stream of information, by opinions and advice and commentary and conflicting and often polarized political and philosophical perspectives. Right? Everyone is telling us what to think, who to be, what matters, what doesn't, what's right, what's wrong, what's politically correct. And some of these voices are helpful. However, many of them are not. And most of them change with the winds of culture and circumstance. And so the question becomes, whose voice are we listening to? Right? Whose voice are we listening to? What light is actually guiding our steps? Now, I think that all three of today's readings give us the exact same answer to those questions. In a world full of conflicting voices, God's word is steady, faithful, and true. Right? God's word is steady, faithful, and true. And so this morning, I want to look at three things that Scripture does for us that can help us live in the light. Three things. So the first thing, number one, God's Word reveals Christ. God's Word reveals Christ. We start here. Luke tells us in our gospel reading that when Jesus comes to Nazareth, he does what I'm sure he's done many times before in many different places. Right? He goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath. He stands to read and he's handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Right? This is familiar ground for him. Ordinary worship, ordinary scripture, ordinary rhythms of life. And yet, what happens next changes everything. Right? Jesus unrolls the scroll and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Right? Then Luke, I think, he says something which I think is quite understated. He says, you know, Jesus rolls up the scroll, he gives it back to the attendant, and he sits down. And you can just imagine the tension in the air as everyone is just waiting, right, staring at him. They say, Luke says, all the eyes of the synagogue were fixed on him. And then comes the words that turn the world on its axis. "Today," Jesus says, "this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, he's saying, this is about me, right? Not metaphorically, not symbolically, not someday, but today, right now. The word of God is no longer just ink on a scroll. The word of God is standing there right in front of him. And this, I think, is one of the clearest moments in the gospel where Jesus tells us how to read Scripture and how to approach Scripture. Right? The Bible is not just a rule book. It's not just a moral handbook or a collection of inspiring religious and spiritual thoughts. The Bible is first and foremost a witness to Jesus. Right? All of the Old Testament, law, prophets, psalms, promises, poetry, longing, judgment, hope, all find its center in Christ. Right? All foreshadow, all point to, all look to, all anticipate Christ. The Word of God isn't just something we study. It's something that leads us to someone. Right? Think about it like this. Christ is the light, and Scripture is the lamp that leads us to him. It's a bit like following a map on a long road trip. Remember maps, right? Some of you might not know what a map is, but remember maps. I mean, you can spend hours studying the symbols and you know, tracing the roads with a yellow highlighter and memorizing all the landmarks. And all of that can be useful as you journey, but really, the purpose of the map isn't the map itself. The purpose of the map is the destination. But Scripture is God's map, but Christ is the place that it's leading us to. Jesus is the destination. And if we stop at the text and never arrive at the living Lord, we've missed not just the point, but actually the heart of it. The heart of it. Now, the people in the synagogue at Nazareth that day, I think they knew Isaiah's words. Many of them could probably recite them from memory. They'd heard them read in the synagogue since childhood, but they'd never heard them spoken like this. "Today, fulfilled in your hearing." Right? The word was no longer just written. It was embodied, living, breathing, standing before them. And this is why Christians have always spoken of Jesus as the Word made flesh. Right? John tells us that at the beginning of his gospel, the divine logos. The Bible is not an end in itself. It is a gift that points beyond itself to the God who speaks and to the Son who reveals him most fully and most perfectly. Every page whispers his name. Every promise leans towards him. Every longing finds its answer in him, even when we don't see it at first. I think this is why the church reads the Old Testament in the light of Christ. Not because it's outdated, but because it's fulfilled. Not because it's been replaced, but because it's been completed. Right? Jesus does not discard Isaiah. He inhabits Isaiah. And that matters deeply, I think, for how we approach Scripture. If God's Word reveals Christ, then our reading of the Bible, our reading of Scripture, is never meant to be merely technical or detached. Right? We don't just come to Scripture asking, what does this passage mean? But also, what does this passage show me about Jesus? What does this passage reveal about his heart? Right? Where do I see his mercy, his authority, his patience, his truth? And this changes the posture of our reading. Right? The Bible becomes less a book to master and more like a doorway through which we meet the living Lord. And it also changes how we worship. Right? When Scripture is read on Sunday morning, like Pauline did for us, it's not simply information being delivered. It's not just a story being told. It's Christ, by his Holy Spirit, addressing his people. Right? The same voice that spoke in Nazareth that day in the synagogue is still speaking in the gathering of his church. And often, like those in the synagogue in Nazareth that day, we may not realize the weight of that in that moment. Right? We hear familiar words. We recognize familiar stories. We nod along. But the miracle is this. Christ is still revealing himself through his word, quietly, faithfully, gently, week after week after week. And of course, this happens in our own rooms, in our own homes, when we're on our own. It's not just confined to Sunday mornings. Christ is constantly speaking to us through his word. And so to live in the light then is to become people who expect to meet Jesus in Scripture. Not just to learn about him, but to actually encounter him, to be challenged by him, to be comforted by him, to be corrected by him, to be drawn again into trust and obedience by him. Scripture doesn't just inform us about the light. Scripture introduces us to him. So that's point number one. God's word reveals Christ. Number two, God's word forms and shapes us. It forms and shapes us. So if Luke shows us that God's word reveals Christ to us, then Paul helps us to see what that same word does within each one of us, right? Within our hearts, within our minds, within our lives. Writing to Timothy, his young protege, who is, I think, navigating a very complicated world and a very fragile church, Paul offers words that I think are both simple and profound. He says in verses 16 and 17, "All Scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." I love it. One of my favorite passages in the Bible, about the Bible, if I could put it that way. Now, although our translation that I just read from this morning, which is the New Revised, Although it uses the word inspired here, right? All scripture is inspired by God. The Greek is actually theopneustos. Theopneustos, which literally means, and I love this, I prefer this, God breathed. Right? So, yes, scripture is inspired. It's a great translation of that Greek word, but I prefer God breathed. Paul is saying here that scripture isn't just human reflection about God. It is the breath of God giving shape in human language. Right? It carries divine life with it. And because of that, scripture is not just revealing. It doesn't just inform us, but it actually, if we allow it, it actually forms us, doesn't it? And notice the elements of this formation that Paul describes here, right? He talks about teaching, which shapes our understanding. He talks about rebuking, which challenges anything within us that is false. He talks about correcting, which sets us back on the right path after we've wandered or gotten lost. And lastly, training, which slowly forms our character over time. And this isn't the language of instant transformation, right? We love instant transformation. This is actually the language of patient formation, right? Not instant transformation, but patient formation, right? Scripture works on us as we allow it by the Spirit over time. Over time. It teaches us how to think biblically, theologically. It exposes what's distorted. It gently straightens what is bent. It trains us in the habits of faithfulness. Not to make us impressive Christians. Not to help us win arguments with our unbelieving friends. Not to help us feel spiritually or morally superior. All of this, Paul says, is so that God's people may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Right? So that our lives, right, our itty-bitty little lives, slowly, faithfully, and quietly over time might reflect the light of Christ. Right? And the places where, you know, we live and move and have our being, whatever that might look like uniquely for you. Think of it like a craftsman shaping a tool, right? A good tool isn't created in a moment. I don't care what a 3D printer can do, right? A good tool is shaped through pressure and refinement and testing and adjustment, right? Rough edges are smoothed and weak places are strengthened. The tool becomes reliable, not because it's flashy, but because it has been carefully and meticulously formed. And I think that scripture works on us in the same way. Rarely does scripture change us in dramatic flashes. Like, I believe that can happen, and it does happen, but rarely does it change us in dramatic flashes. More often, scripture shapes us, as I said, quietly, through repeated exposure, through steady listening and patient obedience, struggling and grappling. And we may not notice that change from week to week, but over the years, as the Spirit does its work in us through God's Word, a life rooted in God's Word begins to look different. It's steadier. It's gentler. It's wiser, more compassionate, more resilient, more open. I think this is important because sometimes we can approach scripture in one of two ways. Sometimes we can treat it as a source of information, right? So the Bible is all about facts that have to be mastered, doctrines or theology that needs to be cataloged, verses that need to be memorized and understood and explained. And other times, we can treat scripture as a source of comfort. And so it's a place where we go to find reassurance, but not necessarily challenge. And although, you know, this is not wrong. These are true things. I would argue that Paul rejects both, really. I mean, Scripture comforts, yes, but Scripture also confronts, doesn't it? And Scripture does reassure us. Yes, it does. Thank you, God. But it also reshapes us. And so to live in the light isn't simply to feel affirmed. It's to be formed. And formation always involves change, and that change isn't always easy. In fact, change, right, when God is working on us, that can be downright painful. Right? Sometimes Scripture challenges patterns within us that we've grown comfortable with. Sometimes it questions assumptions that we didn't realize we were even making. Sometimes it invites us to release habits that might feel safe, but are slowly hollowing us out. And this is not punishment. Right? This is mercy. Right? God loves us just as we are, but he loves us too much to leave us as we are. Right? He wants to make us like his son. Right? He wants to make us like Jesus. So the question, I think, for us isn't just whether we read Scripture or not, but whether we allow it to work on us. Do we come to God's Word only to confirm what we already think or believe? Or do we come willing to be taught and corrected and redirected? Right? Living in the light of God's Word means placing ourselves again and again under its shaping influence. It means listening, even when it's uncomfortable, trusting, even when it unsettles us, returning to it, not because we've mastered it or out of a sense of duty, but because we need it. And slowly and often imperceptibly, God uses his word to make us into people who are ready for lives of quiet faithfulness. People equipped not for applause, but for love. Not for recognition, but for service. Not for control, but for trust. And all this is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. This is not something we grunt out in our own strength. And this is how the light changes us, not in a moment, but over a lifetime. Over a lifetime. God's word forms us and shapes us. And finally, point number three, God's word guides us day by day. It guides us day by day. And so if Luke shows us that God's word reveals Christ and Paul shows us that God's word forms us and shapes us, then the psalmist helps us to see something wonderfully practical. Right? God's word guides us. Psalm 119, verse 105, that passage I started with at worship, at the beginning of worship, says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." I can't read that without thinking of the song, right? The hymn. This is one of the most, I think, beloved lines in Scripture, and for good reason. This verse is honest, and it's realistic, and it's deeply comforting. But notice what the psalmist does not say. He doesn't say that God's word is a spotlight that shows us the entire road ahead. Right? He doesn't say that God's word is a floodlight that removes all uncertainty and all confusion. He says it's a lamp, right? It is a small, steady, faithful light that gives us just enough illumination for the next step. Just enough for the next step. And this really, I don't know about you, but I've seen this in my life. This is often how God works, right? We want clarity about the whole journey. And God gives us guidance for today, or maybe just this moment or this situation, right? We want certainty about the road and about the destination, but God gives us light for the path beneath our feet. But we want answers to all of our questions. We want answers that remove all the risk in life. And God gives us trust that sustains us in the midst of that not knowing or that lack of understanding or comprehension. And so to live in the light isn't to live with all of our questions resolved. It's to live with enough light to walk faithfully one step at a time. Right? Even when the road ahead is still partially hidden or even dark. Right? Even though I walk through the darkest valley. Right? You're with me. I mean, think of it like walking on a dark path at night with a flashlight. We do this a lot when we're camping. Right? When we had kids, we used to always have to walk to the washroom. Now that we're old and have like a luxury trailer, we can just, you know, get out of bed and use the toilet. But you know what I'm saying. You know, when you're camping, you've got this flashlight on the path, and you can't see the end of the trail, right? You can't anticipate every turn or obstacle or rock or, God forbid, snake that might be in the road. But you can see where to place your foot right in front of you, right? One step at a time, allowing you to move safely forward, step by step, because the light is steady. And if we stop walking because we can't see the whole road, we're never going to get anywhere. But God's word does not promise complete foresight. It promises us faithful guidance. And I think that this is incredibly important in our time. And I suspect preachers would have said the same thing throughout history. But this is important for us. Right? We live in a world, I think, that demands instant gratification. Right? We want the quick answers. We want complete explanations. And as a result, we can be uncomfortable with mystery. And we can be impatient with gradual clarity. But Scripture forms us in a very different way. It teaches us to trust the God who walks with us, even when we can't see or feel his presence, right? Rather than demanding control over the road ahead. And as you know, Psalm 119 wasn't written by someone who finds life easy, right? The psalmist speaks of affliction and opposition and hardship and loss and grief and suffering. And yet again and again, over and over, he returns to this truth. God's word is his anchor. Right? God's word is his guide and his stability. It doesn't remove his struggle, but it sustains him through it. And that's what I think it means to live in the light. Right, we all face heavy decisions and challenging seasons from time to time, right? Relationships and work and health and family and finance and career and calling and loss and grief. And we all wish, I think this is true, we all wish that God would simply write the answer in the sky. However, more often, he places his word in our hands and he says, just trust me. Just take one step. Living in the light of God's word means returning to Scripture, not only for understanding, but for guidance. It means asking, what is the faithful step today or in this situation? What is God inviting, or where is God inviting obedience right now? How can I walk with integrity in this moment? And sometimes the guidance that we receive is simple, right? Speak truth with kindness. Forgive when resentment feels easier. Act justly when compromise is tempting. Remain patient when answers are slow. I mean, these are not dramatic acts, but they are acts of light. The psalmist then goes on to say in verse 106, he says, I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to observe your righteous ordinances. But this is the language of commitment, right? Not to perfection, but to faithfulness, not to certainty, but to trust. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to observe your righteous ordinances, which is God's word. To live in the light is to choose again and again to place our next step within the circle of God's word, trusting that the one who gives the light also knows the way. And that's enough for today. That's enough for today. And so if you think about it, living in the light of God's word is not an abstract idea. It's not just about owning a Bible. I mean, that's great. I encourage that. Right? Or being able to quote verses. That's a good discipline and a spiritual discipline. It's not about having strong opinions about Scripture. It's about allowing God's word to shape our hearts, to inform our minds, to guide our choices, to correct our paths, and to form us by the Spirit into the likeness of Jesus. Right? God's word reveals who Jesus is. It shows us the heart of the Father. It exposes our sin, not to crush us, but always, always to heal us. Right? God's word calls us higher, not to make us proud, but to make us holy. When we live in the light of God's word, we're and in darkness, we live in the light of God's word, we can walk with clarity and with confidence and with hope. Right? The world offers us so many lights. However, ultimately they only flicker and fade. But God's word is steady. It doesn't change with culture or trends or opinions. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because it flows and it is breathed by the unchanging God. And so when everything else feels uncertain, Scripture can be an anchor. Right? When our emotions mislead us, Scripture can ground us. When life grows dark, and it does, and it will, Scripture can illuminate our path. Right? This is the gift, I think, of God's word. It doesn't promise control, but companionship. It reminds us that we're never walking alone. We're never guessing blindly. We're never abandoned to our own wisdom. Right? God has spoken. God is speaking, and God will continue to speak through his word. And living in the light is not about, as I said, having all the answers. It's about trusting the one who gives the light. It's about returning to Scripture, not as a duty, but as a refuge. Not as a weapon, but as a gift. Not as something we master, but as something that masters and shapes us. In a world full of noise, Scripture remains steady. In a world full of confusion, Scripture remains clear. In a world full of shifting truths, Scripture remains faithful. And most of all, Scripture keeps leading us back to Jesus again and again, patiently and gently and faithfully. And so, if we want to live in the light, we need to seek to be people of the word, right? People who listen, people who trust, people who return, people who walk not perfectly or even gingerly, but faithfully, one step at a time. Let's pray. Gracious and faithful God, we thank you for the gift of your word that reveals your Son, that forms our hearts, and that guides our steps. Lord, give each one of us a deeper love and a deeper hunger for Scripture, a quieter spirit to listen, and a more willing heart to obey. When the path is unclear or even dark, be our guide. When our faith feels small, be our strength. And when the world feels loud, be our truth. Lord, send us from this place today as people shaped by your word, walking in your light and trusting in your grace, reflecting the life of Christ, or the love of Christ in all we say and in all we do. For we pray in his name and for his sake. Amen.